You know, it's interesting. You know, Fanny Crosby had to have been, because she's the one who penned that song. She had to have been a person who paid attention and listened, because she was blind, you know. But she's seen in there the rosy-tinted, the sun setting in the rosy-tinted west and things like that. You know, probably something she never saw herself. But she could feel the heat of the sun. She could read what the Bible says about the sun's rising and setting and different things, you know. And to be able to pen those kind of songs, it's just a blessing to see someone take the abilities they have and totally give them over to God and let God use them in all different ways like that. But James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 26, James 1, verse 26. I want you to really take heed tonight to what the Bible has for us here. James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Father, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Now, I want to once again say that, brethren, the book of James definitely has much and great truths for us, no doubt. But we know that the book of James says in James 1 verse 1, James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad greeting. There are three transitional books in the Bible, in the New Testament. Matthew is one, transitioning from the Old Testament prophets to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah coming on the scene. All right. The book of Acts is a transitional book, transitioning from the Old Testament economy under the law, the different sacrifices, to now the finished work of Christ and the church receiving animated life now. And then the book of Hebrews is a transitional book because you have New Testament church age doctrine, Romans to Philemon, and then all of a sudden you give a book named Hebrews. The next book is James to the 12 tribes, and it is undoubtedly a transitional book concerning God picking up again with the Jews prior to the return of the Lord Jesus. Interestingly enough, most of your false doctrines will find their places in either Matthew, Acts, or Hebrews. Seriously. Because those are transitional books. And if somebody's going to mess up doctrine-wise, they're usually going to mess up in one of those three books. All right. And so we have the book of James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, definitely we know it applies to the church. The church is mentioned here in the book of James. But there is undoubtedly a future application to the Hebrew people during that time, I believe, of the tribulation when God is dealing with the Jews again. And isn't it interesting that here in the book of James 1, one of the last things mentioned is keeping oneself unspotted. Because there's going to somebody on the scene going to try to put a spot on them. Try to get somebody to take a mark, take a spot, So I just find that very interesting. But anyway, for our purposes and the practical aspects of this book for us tonight, look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious. Now, most of the time, being religious is not a good thing. Most of the time. Most of the time, somebody merely religious means they have an external formalistic show of piety and such, but they don't have heartfelt salvation. They don't have true, genuine salvation, for the most part. But there is a right application of being religious. All right, but it's a kind of a narrow kind of understanding, and the Bible gives it to us here. Religious is defined in the dictionary as, believe it or not, this is the dictionary definition of religious: godly, loving and reverencing God and obeying His precepts. That's true religion. That's true religion. All right. Many people are religious, but not in the right sense. The word religion is defined as distinct, and I love this. The dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, defines religion as distinct from theology. It is godliness or real piety in practice, not just theory. I like that. I like that. It's the genuine article, not just theory. Not just the mechanics of the thing. Not just, but doing it. In fact, isn't that interesting? What's the book of James about? Be ye doers. And not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And the very dictionary definition of religion has to do with, it's distinct from theology, has to do with a lot of theory, which may be right, may be wrong. But religion has to do with putting it into action. It's godliness or real piety in practice, not just theory. What does the word seem mean? It means to have the show or appearance of. Okay. So that being the case, if any man among you seem, or you know, if appears to be, has the show of being religious, you know, godly in the right sense, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion is fine as long as it's not empty and just a vain show. And the Bible says, look, if a man has an outward show of religion, yet can't control his tongue, he is deceiving himself. Now listen, God is going to give us some help tonight if we will receive it. God is going to give us some help tonight if we will receive it. And this may be something that will hit somebody in how you are at home, how you are at work, how you are in your neighborhood, how you are at school, how you, I don't know. But it has to do with this matter of controlling the tongue and what it really reveals about us. If a man, I'll say it again, if a man has an outward show of religion yet can't control his tongue, he is deceiving himself. The Bible says, puts it this way, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. To bridle in the dictionary means to restrain, to guide, to govern, to check, to curb or control. I would imagine, Joy, you got a bridle on that horse. Horses use bridles sometimes to take and rein them in or to direct them or like that, you know. You put bridles on them at times. I guess they still do that. I haven't ridden horses in a long time. But a Bible here mentions a bridle. All right, now listen. That's how you control something. Can you control your tongue? Can you bridle it? Now, I want you to ask that. I want you to ask yourself that. Can you control your tongue? Can you bridle it? If not, then you, according to the Bible, you are deceiving your own heart. If you can't control your tongue. If you can't control your tongue, listen to me. If you can't control your tongue, but yet you are actively involved in a lot of good and right things, but you can't control your tongue. Now, this is an awesomely scary kind of thing. You're deceiving yourself. All right? You're thinking that because I do a lot of things, that it's okay, I got a little problem with my tongue. You don't understand. You've got things out of order. That's a big problem with your tongue. There is no such thing as a little problem with your tongue. It is such an issue that the Bible says if you can't bridle your tongue, but you seem to be religious in other ways, you are deceiving yourself. That is serious stuff. Because, brethren, how many times have I seen it? How many times have I seen men, saved men, I believe saved, who had good things and totally destroyed their good, or at least negated it because of their mouth? Do you understand? I've seen countless times some men who had good things. When you listen to them, they had good things. They negated their effectiveness because they could not control their tongue and they ran their mouth too much and it negated their... Because what happened is people would not listen to them. Or they just put up with them. Or they just was like... And I tell you, it really hurts them with... It hurts them with young people. Because what happened is... Listen. If you go and try to get on to young folks, but you can't control your tongue, they're going to be like, so this guy's going to be teaching me, and my mom and dad don't let me get away with saying the things like this guy does. I can't say things like that. I'm not allowed to speak or talk like that. And he can. What's he got for me? Now, I'm saying you will hurt your influence. You will hurt your effectiveness. Yea, verily, the Bible says you are deceiving yourself if you can't control your tongue. This is serious stuff. I mean, brethren, it is big. Brethren. Once again, this is going to be something that in a lot of churches would leave people upset. I mean, it would. And it would leave people to where they would not go along with it. They would not go along with what we're going to say tonight and leave them upset. It would get them to where, you say, well, why should this upset people? You'll see why in a minute. And it would leave them to where that they would just grouse about it and mutter and complain, because what we're going to deal with, brethren, is the essence of where... the essence of where things really ought to be. And it's sometimes not where we put it at. Brethren, God puts the, once again, He puts the emphasis on things that have to do with our interaction with others and where our heart's at and our ability to control and master ourselves and our tongue. Man can't control his tongue. If he can't master himself, he's not going to master anybody else. That's the truth. He's not going to be able to manage anybody else if he can't manage his own tongue. All right? Listen, can you control your tongue? Can you bridle it? If not, then you're deceiving your own heart. You're fooling yourself, but not God, not your family or others. You're not what you seem to be. I didn't say you're lost, though in some cases, in many cases, that is the case. But not in every case. But something's not right. You're not what you seem to be. Not when you can't control your tongue. Brethren, there's many a man. There's many. An evangelist, many a pastor, many a missionary, many people in the field. And brethren, there's problems, and it messes their family up because you know what? They can't control their tongue. They can't control their tongue. Listen, there's many a wife that has got used to putting up with biting, hurtful comments, and they just kind of like, I guess this is the way it is, and they go along with it. And they just learn to deal with it. They learn to deal with it and kind of find their, get what they need elsewhere as far as enjoyment or whatever. A lot of times you'll find a woman like that, her kids become everything. Her children become everything because her husband's deadening everything to her. Because he makes biting, hurtful comments. He's snappish. I'm not going to say sometimes we don't snap. Of course we do. Get it right. Make the thing right. But brethren, when sometimes there are, listen, gentlemen, I love you. But gentlemen, I don't know if this goes on. I don't know if this goes on here. I'm just going to tell you though. If you make comments to your wife like, are you stupid? Huh? What you got for brains? Brother, sir, you get your act together. Something's wrong with you. You're kidding yourself. And all the knowledge you may have and all the things that you may do is not fooling God. You're fooling yourself. You understand? All the way that you may be, all the way that you may do, all the things you may be involved in, it's vain. You're kidding yourself. You can't even master your own self. Now, we're not playing around tonight. This is Bible. This is Bible. This is serious stuff. And many a man deceives himself. Because you know what? Can't bridle his tongue. Because he gets upset and whatever like that, and he lashes out. And what happens is, listen, gentlemen, your wife ain't like you. That stuff hurts. She'll stick it out, but you know what? She'll start drawing everything from her children. She'll try that her enjoyment, her fulfillment will be from them or not from you. She'll just go ahead and do her duty. But you know what? You're going to start losing something that maybe you had at the start. You can get it back, but there'll need to be some changes take place. Can you bridle your tongue? Can you bridle your tongue? Can you rein that thing in? Can you direct it like it ought to be? That's your wife. I want to tell you something, fellas. I don't know about you, but thanks be to God for the wife I got. And we ought to be so thankful for him and for putting up with us. I'm serious. But gentlemen, look here. Be careful. Can you bridle your tongue? Take your Bible. Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. What is it? They have an outward show. They seem to be something they're not. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Such a one's religion is empty. It's worthless. It's fruitless. Brethren, listen, all your pretensions are worthless if your mouth destroys the other seemingly right things you do. All the things you may show yourself to be is empty and meaningless if you can't control your tongue. Brethren, many a man does some right and good things, but he destroys it with his tongue. He negates it. He negates his effectiveness because of his tongue. And I can see so much the importance of these words because I've seen it played out in men's lives to where somebody had some good stuff. Really did. Had some good stuff. But when they can't control their tongue, brethren, whether your tongue is used to always exalt your own self, whether your tongue is used to bitingly hurt people or say sarcastic, brethren, humor and picking around and all is fine. That's fine. But brethren, when there's a spirit to it that is biting, or sarcasm that hurts, or lifting up always of oneself, or a tongue that just cannot know when to stop. It's like the rubber band is wound up and just on things that are just shouldn't be talked about or what like that. Brethren, you're going to negate your effectiveness. Brethren, I'm not saying that we all probably at times don't have during the day or time things that we need to get right concerning our tongue. Brethren, what we're talking about here, brethren, is someone that is consistently is marking out the individual. They cannot bridle their tongue. Well, I say, if they cannot, that really scares me. If they won't, well, that's, you know, if you've got the power to and won't, that's one thing. Shame on you. But if you can't, that's really scary. The believer should be able to bridle the tongue. Listen, again, such an individual either can't or won't control their tongue, and either way, it's bad. Look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now look at that. I want you to notice what true, undefiled religion before God is. Number one, it's to visit widows and orphans and help them. Wow. To visit widows and orphans and help them. That's interesting. Very interesting. Brothers, you know what? There's a lot of ministries or ways to minister that some people don't want to be involved in. You know why? Because they don't feel like it'll bring any return to the church. Brethren, it's not supposed to be about only doing something that'll benefit the local church or get people in. That's not what it's about. It's about helping people in the name of Jesus Christ wherever they are in the cause of Christ. That's what it's about. To visit widows and orphans in their affliction. Amen. So, brethren, when you've got opportunity to do that, that is pure religion before God. That is good and it is right. God always has a heart toward the fatherless and toward widows. He's always got a heart toward those things. And that's pure religion. What else is pure religion before God the Father? To keep from being spotted by the world. By letting the world taint you and spot you. And brethren, the way to do that, how do you keep the world from spotting you? Well, how do you keep from having water splashed on you? Stay away from the curb. Brethren, when you're walking down the road, you can avoid some things by where you walk at. I mean, brethren, you're not going to get splashed. Bubba Pie is one of the finest neighbors you could ever have in your life. And I'm not just saying that because Brad's sitting there. It's Brad's uncle, but that's the truth. Bubba Pie would do anything. He was always, when we lived over there, so good to us. But now Bubba is not to be toyed and played around with. And that's for sure right now. All right. Bubba could be the greatest friend and he'd do anything for you. But don't cross him like that. And Bubba was standing one time. He said, "Hello, Mr. Dawson." Whenever Bubba would ever see me, man, he was always saying hey to me and running over to talk to me. And Bubba was coming one time. "Hey, Mr. Dawson," I come over to talk to him. About that time, somebody came down Alexander Circle and splashed. And I thought to myself, I thought, did they just splash him? And Bubba come over to me. He said, "Mr. Dawson, did you see that?" And I said, "Well, I thought I saw it." He goes, "Mr. Dawson, it is a good thing for them that you are standing here with me." And I thought to myself, yeah, it is. It is probably a very good thing for them, those folks that Bubba is standing right here with me right now. I mean, he's talking. But what I'm saying is, Brandon, let's suppose you're walking down the road and somebody splashes water on you. Okay, well, how do you keep forward that from happening? Well, stay away from that edge there. Kind of like we were talking about this morning. Brother, you want to keep the world from spotting you? Watch where you walk. Watch where you walk. Watch where you spend your time at. And you can keep the world from spotting you. I mean, let's look at how else to do. How else do you keep the world from spotting you? Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So how does the Lord do? How does the Lord keep his, how does the Lord keep a church clean without spot? By the washing of water by the word. Brethren, the way you keep yourself unspotted from this world is to stay in the Word of God. Spend time in the Scripture. Reading it, obeying it. That'll keep you from being spotted by the world. Hey, look here. You ever walked in a home or walked in somewhere and somebody like, whoa, what happened to you? And you got splattered, right? Have you ever walked across the yard and I don't know, I mean, maybe you don't walk like me, man. I got a gait, I guess, man. I flick mud all over me if I'm not careful, right? Or maybe you had on a pair of flip-flops or something and you're popping mud all over you and somebody goes, look at the back of you. You got mud all over you. Well, look here. What do we look like when we come before the Lord at times? I mean, seriously. Will the Lord say, you need a little cleaning up here? You've been walking through the mud, bud. You spotted all up. Do you know something? You can walk through mud and not get dirty if you know how to do it. You can walk through mud if you have to and not get dirty if you know how to do it. But if you're careless. You ever watch the young'un? Flip, flop, flop, just getting stuff everywhere. But if you're careful and you got to do it. Brethren, there's some situations you can go through in this life. And if you have to be around, you can do it right and not get spotted. But if you're not careful how you walk, if you walk carelessly, if you walk haphazardly, you're going to get all spotted up. You know something? Brethren, we need to always think about how things are interpreted in heaven concerning us. We're discussing the other night. The Bible says in Revelation that those elders, they had, what did they have with them? Golden vials filled with the prayers of the saints. I just believe the Bible for what it says. I just believe it for what it says. I wonder if at the judgment seat of Christ, brethren, what if God uncorks your prayers one day? What if God, if you don't get anything else from me tonight, I want you to get this and don't forget it. What if one day God uncorks your prayers? What will they smell like? Dead flies causeth the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Brethren, if our prayers have always been me, 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 always me, 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 centered around me, then I've filled them up with flesh. And brethren, is it going to be a sweet incense one day? All I know is my Bible says those elders had golden vials filled with the prayers of the saints. If God has those prayers saved up in a vial, what will they smell like? Can you imagine if before the Lord one day God says, okay, here's your prayer life. Now what if he uncorked a vial and there's nothing in it? What if he uncorked it and you're like, whoa, Lord, what is that? I thought heaven was a good place, a wonderful place. Lord, what is that? That's what you rendered up to me. It was always about you. It was always about you. But if I uncork that thing, and those prayers have been centered around giving glory to God, interceding for others, seeking God. I mean, I'm serious, brethren. I'm telling you this, brethren, because it smacks me between the eyes. That hits me hard. Brethren, I'm not saying this to get on you. I'm saying it because it's true and it smacks me between the eyes. What will it be like for me if God uncorks my prayers one day? And I think that very well may happen. All I know is those elders had prayers of the saints in those vials. David speaks of tears in a bottle. Wild stuff. I just take my Bible what it says. But I'll tell you this. It's something to think about. What if God uncorked your prayers? Would there be anything in there? Or would it be something like, what is that? That's your prayers. Or would it be something that would be a sweet odor? See, brethren, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be all about what we did here. Our actions, praying. It's going to be what we've done here since we've been saved. I'm not telling you just start doing something just to do it. I'm just telling you love God, walk with God. God help us all. Stay in His Word. Stay in His Word will keep us from being spotted by this world. It'll help us to do so. Make our prayers to where they ought to be. I'm just telling you, pure religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. How do you do that? Well, the Lord does it by His Word. That's how we're to do it. If we'll stay in the Word of God, it'll help keep us from being spotted. You'll be able to walk through some dirty places if you have to, but walk in the right way to where you don't get so much mud splashed on you. All right? And when you do, there's the cleansing blood of Christ and of His Word. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they've exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. These individuals are called spots. You know how to keep yourself spotted from the world? Stay away from those who are spots themselves. Stay away from those who do such things. Stay away. Stay away. Go to Jude. Jude verse 12. Jude verse 12. Jude verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried away out of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Stay away from them. They're spots. Brethren, if you get around such folks, they're going to spot you. And pure religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, something I want you to notice here. Interestingly enough, and brethren, what I'm going to say next would really upset some folks in some places. But listen to what I'm saying. What is pure religion? Visiting the poor, fatherless and widows in their affliction. Those who have nobody to help them. Women who don't have an authority there, leadership and guidance. Nobody help them. Children who don't have a parent there. Helping them. In the name of Christ, okay? And keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Interestingly enough, that's what pure religion is. And bridling your tongue. Interestingly enough, no mention of track work, street preaching, banners, or anything like that. Now, whoa, stop a minute. Listen to me. Not that those things are wrong. Not that those things are wrong. But the Lord is about personally touching the lives of people in Jesus' name. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now listen, Brother Brad, them do no scripture shirts. Wonderful. We thank the Lord for that. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. We love that. We support that. I think that's great. Brethren, what I'm saying is, interestingly enough, look what the Bible says. It has to do with touching someone's life in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, there's a lot of things that we do, and it's not wrong to do, but it's easier to do because it doesn't get involved with somebody's life. And brethren, our Lord was about getting involved with somebody's life, because brethren, that's how they know you care. Brethren, I'm all about, I've told you, I've always been about this. I'm for anything that, as long as it doesn't go against Scripture, that will get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. But brethren, where things are really powerful is when you're touching somebody's life. When you're getting in there personal with them. And brethren, not to where you're just, not just giving them Bible, but you give them Bible while caring for them in the name of the Lord the right way. What's pure religion? Bridling your tongue. Visiting widows and the fatherless in their affliction and keeping himself unspotted from the world. Listen to me, brethren. Are you deceiving yourself? Are you deceiving yourself? Brethren, a person may go and do all kinds of external work and yet come in and yell to wife yell to scream at the kids, not control their tongue, talk too much. Did you know what the Bible says? Their religion is vain, is in vain. They're deceiving themselves. Isn't that something? How would you like to be active for the Lord and the Lord say, you never got it? You never did get it. You never understood it. You did the things you liked to enjoy doing, but you would never allow me to mold you and make you as an individual. You'd never let me do it. You did a lot of external things because you liked doing it, but you didn't like and wouldn't allow me to make of you what I wanted you to be. Brother, you better listen up. I'm serious. A lot of things, they're not wrong, but you deceive yourself if you think that doing things and not controlling your tongue is okay. Brethren, there are a lot of Bible-believing brethren. And you know what they think about things? Oh, yeah, I got a little problem with tongue. What are you laughing about? What are you grinning about? What are you going, yeah, I got a little problem. No, you don't. You got a big problem. Brethren, listen to me. Listen to me. People are thinking, but see, I do all this. You don't get it. You don't get it. You're negating your effectiveness because of your tongue, and you think it's a little matter. It's a big matter. Brethren, I want to ask you, be honest. Get somewhere with God and say, Lord, examine yourself. Do you have a problem controlling your tongue? If you do, tell God. If there's an area in your life that you're not or won't bridle your tongue, tell Him. Get honest with it and ask God to help you. Brother, I love you. I don't want you to deceive yourself. I don't deceive myself. I don't deceive myself. I don't want to get home and have some surprises that I didn't have to have. When God was trying to prepare me and get me ready and show me. And brethren, we can't take and say, well, you know, I need to work on that. That's not the attitude to have. Somebody says, well, you know, I guess I'm a little stubborn. What? And you can grin about it? That's his iniquity and idolatry. It's like witchcraft. What are you talking about? Stubbornness is a heinous sin. That's horrible. Those are things to just be like, well, I'm kind of... No. Brethren, the Lord is interested in molding that individual for His honor and glory. And brethren, He's in things that touch a person's life. That being said, brethren, I am all about banners and track work and things. I'm all about... But brethren, did you know something? I'm all about it. But you know, if worse comes to worse, the one thing that you have until somebody takes it away is your mouth. You might not be always to give a tract to somebody, but you've always got your mouth to be able to talk to somebody about the Lord, to look for a way for a door to be open, to talk to them about something. I mean, brother, what I'm saying is, I'm for things like this. But brethren, sometimes we like things that keep us distant. Do not leave here thinking that I am downplaying anything like that. I encourage, I'm all about those things. But if you limit yourself to that, that's because it keeps you at a nice, safe, comfortable distance. We're fooling ourselves. Because brethren, look here. That's where we're at today. Everybody's always got their space distance. Nobody gets in nobody's life. But brethren, if you want to affect somebody for Christ, if they're going to get to know you and see the one that's in you, they got to get a little close. Somebody's got to get a little close to you to see Christ who abides within you. And you know what, brethren? It means, okay, you might know of any fatherless or any widows, but you don't want to. But any way that you can minister to somebody with a need they've got in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm doing this for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, look here. Those are things that God's in. Those are doors that get open. Those are the things the Lord's about. But if we do anything and yet think that we can get by with letting our mouth be any way that it wants to be and just say anything, not Jonathan Doss, the Bible says we are deceiving ourselves. And that's a scary thing. So I want to ask you, is there an area you're deceiving yourself about? Maybe you need to move to North Carolina. So what are you talking about? I'm being a little facetious. The state motto of North Carolina is Esse Quam Verde. What does that mean? Well, it's Latin, and it means to be rather than to seem. Somebody way back in North Carolina had something right, I guess. But that was the state motto. And it's esse quam verde, and it means to be rather than to seem. In other words, what they were saying was, what's important is not what you seem to be, but really to be. And brethren, that definitely holds true in spiritual matters. It's not what you seem to be. What are you? And brethren, so God knows. He knows what we are. We better know what we are. But you know, a man cannot know what he is. How? He deceives himself. But if you don't want to know the truth about yourself, the Lord will let you deceive yourself to where you fool yourself. I'll tell you, God knows, often family knows. Often family knows, and it'll cause you to lose respect. Because if you seem to be something, and yet you're not, they'll usually know you're not. And it'll cost you. To be rather than to seem. Are you real or a show? Your religion is true if it controls your tongue and helps others in Christ's name. It's only a show if it doesn't. Let's pray. Father, Lord, these are some powerful words here in the book of James. They're just right there, and there they are, Lord. And Father, it's something that we all need to take and examine ourselves over. And I pray, Lord, we do so. Lord, I pray that we would pause and examine ourselves. Father, help us to be sure that we're real and not just a show. Your word says if any man among you seem to be religious. That's why, Lord, I bring up that motto, the state motto of the state of North Carolina, to be rather than to seem. Lord, many seem to be religious. But Lord, they're not religious in the matter in a true manner, according to the Word of God. And Lord, help us, dear God, to examine ourselves. Father, it is easy to involve ourselves in much external things. But Lord, to lightly esteem the things that you put high value and price upon. Father, if we've got any sense to us, Lord, we will highly value the things that you put a high price upon. Your word says in the book of Peter, Father, that a meek and quiet spirit is in your sight in a woman of great price. Lord, your word says that pure religion and undefiled before you is to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction. Lord, having a heart toward others in the name of Jesus. And Lord, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Father, those things have to do with getting involved with where people are at. And it seems, Lord, we live in a day and hour that everybody wants to just keep so distant from everyone. And everyone's little sealed off cubicle of their own life. I understand that, Lord. I understand that. I believe probably all our flesh falls prey to that. But Lord Jesus, you got right down there and you affected people's lives because you where they were at. And Lord, they could handle and examine you and see you for who you were. And Father, folks need to examine us and see you and not us. Father, I'm just asking you to help us, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves in the light of your word. And show us, dear God, how we can make a right and a proper application of these truths. And dear Lord, help us to realize, dear God, that if we cannot or will not bridle our tongue, we're deceiving ourselves. Help us, Father, to determine whether it be a matter of can't or won't. Either one's not good. But help us to determine which one it is and, Lord, take the necessary measures. Now help us, Lord, and help us, Lord, again to just make an application of this as you will so direct. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake, amen.